But first, do you want to visit a condensed version of Western architecture's greatest hits? Well, you might just want to pack your bags and catch the next flight to China. You'll be able to visit Thames Town in Shanghai and a larger-than-life replica of Venice in Hangzhou. Bianca Bosker is the author of Original Copies, Architectural Mimicry in Contemporary China. She talks with Steve Paulson about these copycat constructions.
I first of all discovered that this was going on in China, and this wasn't just happening in one city. This was happening throughout the country. So developers, government officials, individuals were building these homes and residential communities that replicated foreign cities and landscapes. And what really struck me was the disconnect between what a lot of critics and observers in the West had to say about them. They were very dismissive of them, very critical. And the fact that you had people in China that were willing to spend their life savings to live in a place that looked like the White House or Venice.
You're saying people actually built their own version of the White House?
Oh, absolutely. The White House is one of the most frequently copied buildings in China.
The White House, though, is huge. I mean, the real White House. How big is the Chinese version?
Well, you can obviously play with the scale a little bit, and they certainly do that not only for the White House and the Capitol building. What's striking is I think people have an image in their minds of these places as being miniature. And in fact, what's remarkable is that in some cases, the copies are bigger than the original. So just as an example, in Hangzhou, there's a copy of Venice, and it just dwarfs the feeling, the intimacy of being in the original in Italy. So you'll go there and the townhouses look very similar. They're similar colors. They have, you know, the beautiful arches and all of that. They even have canals and gondoliers. But the townhouses are bigger, wider, taller, and they don't have exactly the same density. So in some cases, yeah, they do play with the scale.
And there are other examples of some of the most famous landmarks in the world. For instance, the Eiffel Tower. Isn't there a Chinese version of that too?
Again, several Chinese versions of the Eiffel Tower. One of the most famous was one that was also in Hangzhou that I think was a two-thirds scale replica of the original. And it was on the Champs-Élysées Square in the middle of this huge development that really felt like Paris. You had, you know, these beautiful townhouses with the black tile roofs and the fountains. But what's interesting there is they actually had thrown together all of these different landmarks from France into one place. So you had on the one hand the Eiffel Tower and the very Parisian apartments, but then you also had the Arena of Nîmes, which is from a different part of France, and gardens from Versailles. So, you know, there's just a little bit of remodeling that goes on just to be sure that they've got all the greatest architectural hits of French architecture in one place.
So to take that one example of this little France in the city of Hangzhou, is it private developers who are doing this? Is this a government operation? Who actually is making these copies?
So it varies from place to place. In this case, it was, I believe, a private developer who had gotten some cooperation and help from local government officials. And you find that a lot. One of the most incredible examples of this duplitecture movement was in Shanghai. And this was called the One City, Nine Towns Plan. And here, they were decided to build 10 satellite cities around Shanghai, each in the architectural style of a different European country. And this was spearheaded and financed by local government officials. One official, actually, that turned out to be quite corrupt and was later ousted from the Communist Party. But nonetheless, this was an effort by the state to actually build these massive replicas of England, Germany, Spain, and so on and so forth. So you find both kinds. You know, I actually found in my trips, I went to over 24 of these replica communities. The ones that had been built by private developers, like Vanke, tended to be more thriving and bustling than those that had been built by local officials or state-owned enterprises, you know, this sort of marriage between the private and public developers. And I think part of that had to do with the fact that the private developers spent a lot of time doing market research, studying the location, really making sure that the buildings that they were putting up would serve a market need. On the other hand, a lot of the government-sponsored developments have really remained these ghost towns, completely uninhabited, huge, sprawling developments that have maybe a handful of people living in them. Oftentimes, they're completely sold out, but no one's there. And that has to do with the fact that oftentimes the officials didn't take into account the infrastructure, how people were going to get there, the location, and didn't really put all the investment necessary to be sure that they would be schools and businesses and supermarkets and all of that. So in this case, I do think, as opposed to focusing on location, 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 you find the government developers instead thinking about imitation, imitation, imitation. In China, copying can be an end in and of itself. There's something remarkable and prized about the ability to create a convincing literal copy of something else. A good copy can be seen as an indication of mastery or skill. It's not a sign of a lack of innovation by any means.
All of this raises the question of why are people doing this? I mean, why are the private developers creating whole communities? Why are people wanting to live in a copy of the White House, for instance? What's the appeal?
I think that China, in an effort to show that it's making it big, has turned to faking it big. When China copies Paris, it's not meant as an homage to France. It's meant as a celebration of China's success. And that's on both a personal and a national level, if you will. One of the big parts of my research was going and speaking to the people that were living in these communities to ask them what was so appealing about a fake California or a fake England. And, you know, you find that people are turning to these copies of Venice or Versailles as a way of showing their cultural sophistication. It's a very immediate, branded way of showing off what they've attained. I think a lot of the Chinese residents have chosen places that are instantly recognizable as high class, famous landmarks that were made for the rich and famous, whether it was the President of the United States or the King of France.
It's so complicated, though, China's relationship with the West. On the one hand, there's this admiration for what the West has accomplished, and yet there's also historically a lot of resentment. I'm a fan, for instance, of Chinese martial arts movies, and anything set historically 100 years ago, there is always sort of one of the storylines. There are the nasty Western imperialists, and the local homegrown hero has to kick them out. And so it would seem that you'd have both these things going on at the same time.
China obviously has a history of having Western architecture on its soil. But in those cases, the Western-style buildings were by and large built by the European powers in the concessions. Shanghai, for example, has the beautiful Bund area, but that was built by the British by and large, not by the Chinese. So you're seeing this strange rupture. I mean, China has such a rich architectural tradition all its own. Why not borrow from that or innovate a new, more modern style that's all Chinese as opposed to pilfering from the 17th, 18th century France or England or Italy? It is a bit bizarre, especially given China's very tenuous relationship with the West. But I think that, again, it goes back to by building something in the Western style, it becomes something China can do as opposed to something that's done to China by an outside power. And that's a very important difference. I think it's not about China building the Eiffel Tower because the country and its leaders and citizens are so obsessed and so in love with France, but it's much more about showing off, we can do this too. It's China, I think, being able to show we have the might and we have the money and we have the technical ability to build a replica of the Eiffel Tower. Again, this is a monument to China. This is not a monument to France.
You have a great quote from Howard French, the former China correspondent for the New York Times, who says, talking about this architectural imitation, he says, it is a statement of having arrived, of being rich and successful. It says, we can pick and choose whatever we want, owning a piece of the West. In fact, we're so rich, we can own the West without ever having to go there. Do you think he's right?
Oh, yeah, I do think he's right.
He's saying that it's almost a way of saying that we're going to best you. We can take the best that you have and, you know, we're going to even do better than what you've done.
I think China has embraced copying both for symbolic and practical ends. And what I mean by that is on a symbolic level, being able to recreate these foreign cities in China shows China's ability on a symbolic level to really rearrange the order of the universe and symbolically own its rivals, right? China literally owns many White Houses right now. And it's no accident that the White House is one of the most copied buildings in China because it's so fraught with symbolism. I mean, China has picked the ultimate representation of the seat of power for the leader of the free world and has copied it over and over and over again and now owns it, literally.
Bianca Bosker is the author of Original Copies, Architectural Mimicry in Contemporary China. She spoke with Steve Paulson.